Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. I just taped this entire show, and it only recorded 2 minutes, so I guess I'm taping it again. So if you listen to it in part, sorry about that. It was some kind of glitch in the system. But anyway, I'm not going to be taking a break today because I have a lot to cover, so let me get started. If you're familiar with my shows, you're probably aware of the six-part series I did on narcissistic personality disorder. I did it in 2013, starting on April 30th and ending on May 7th. If you have not already listened to these shows, I recommend that you do. You'll learn a great deal about the kind of person you're dealing with and the damage they cause to everyone close to them. And these shows fully elaborate on aspects of NPD that I will only touch on today. Today I'll be talking about the accountability of those with narcissistic personality disorder. As I've explained in other shows, a certain level of narcissism can be a healthy aspect of our personalities. Narcissistic personality disorder is an entirely different thing. So today, when I refer to the narcissist, in an effort to not have to repeat the words narcissistic personality disorder every time, I will just say narcissist. I just want you to know the distinction. Many recovering victims, or I should say survivors of narcissistic abuse, struggle with the dilemma of whether or not to hold the narcissist accountable for his behavior. We learn in our recovery that narcissism is a personality disorder, and we wonder, isn't having a personality disorder the same thing as having a mental illness? And if so, how can we hold a mentally ill person responsible for their actions? One reason we find ourselves in this conundrum is that for many years we've been trained by the narcissist to first sacrifice our own needs for theirs. So it stands to reason, given our brainwashing and our typically gentle, forgiving natures, that we overlook our own suffering and wonder if narcissists are to be pitied for their lack of self-control. And where does forgiveness fit in? Can and should we forgive them for their actions if we believe they cannot control them? What if we believe that they can control their behavior but find it difficult to do so? And should we forgive them if we believe that they are in complete control of their behaviors? There are two schools of thought on the culpability of the narcissist. I'll first talk about the less popular of the two. Some say that the narcissist does what he does without conscious regard, that he does not premeditate his campaign of abuse. And when he is functioning on a conscious level, he's unable to predict the outcomes of his actions or control his behavior. This theory may be true in part, but it's not substantiated as a whole, though both theories do agree that the narcissist lacks impulse control, and they both maintain that because he lacks impulse control, he's not entirely responsible for his actions. that's where the schools of thought differ. One believes that he is entirely at the mercy of his disorder, and the other believes that he is partially at the mercy of it. The second school of thought is that the decisions that propel the narcissist into action are unconsciously experienced, but that the narcissist is in complete control of how and when he will act them out. This theory maintains that he clearly knows what is right and what is wrong, that he has the ability to anticipate the results of his actions, and that he is fully aware of the penalty others will pay for his choices. So the decision of whether or not to act on his compulsions is made consciously and calculatingly. The problem for the narcissist is that suppressing his compulsion is not an option he's willing to take. And why should he? He doesn't care about anybody but himself. As far as the narcissist is concerned, people only exist as sources of his narcissistic supply, sources of adoration, admiration, and attention. One person doesn't mean any more to him than another does. People are dispensable and interchangeable. They're merely a means to an end. So if one person doesn't give him what he wants, he disposes of them like trash and moves on to another source of supply. The narcissist satisfies his never-ending hunger for attention at the expense of anyone naive enough, dependent enough, or willing enough to feed him. He's an addict, duped to any level to get his fix. Since he lacks the ability to empathize, he does not have to experience the implications of what he does to others. He may know that you're hurting, but he doesn't have the capacity to feel your pain. Narcissists are consumed by inner turmoil, conflict, and fear. And what do they fear the most? They fear losing their narcissistic supply, the supply they get from us. Acting out on their compulsions like parasites is how they alleviate the pressure and anxiety that restlessly stirs within them. And they don't have a conscience in regard to their treatment of others. They don't care about or feel responsible for whoever must be sacrificed or expended to fulfill their needs. Narcissists may lack empathy, but they do not lack emotion. In fact, they are highly sensitive, though they only experience that sensitivity as it relates to them. And they do not experience emotion the way other people do. They have a false self, a powerful defense that keeps them from having to deeply feel their emotions. It keeps them from feeling responsible for anything that goes on in their lives. They do feel pity, but only as it relates to their self and their own personal interests. Because they have a false sense of grandiosity, they feel forever victimized. They see life as being unfair to them, feel like they never get all they deserve. They believe that everyone owes them all the time. But should we feel sorry for someone who is ruled by their fears and suffers a great deal emotionally? The answer is no, we should not. Who among us does not have emotional pain and feel fear? And haven't we suffered a great deal of pain and fear at the hands of the narcissist? We are the casualties of their behavior, not the other way around. The degree to which any human being suffers is directly related to how much he allows these common human emotions to impact his everyday life. The narcissist cowers and victimizes others in the face of his pain and fear. We do not. We draw on our inner strength and courage in the face of our pain and fear. So, narcissists have a personality disorder, but are they mentally ill innocents who know not what they do? Think about it this way. How many times have you witnessed the two faces of your narcissist? How many times have you seen him behave entirely different with different people under the exact same circumstances? How many times have you seen him control his behavior when others are there to witness it and then completely go off on you when no one is there to see it happen? The fact that he only acts out when he thinks he can get away with it demonstrates the existence of choice. And how many times have you seen your narcissist pouring on the charm with someone they think is important, influential, famous, or wealthy? These people are the narcissist's ideal. It doesn't matter what the person's morals or ethics are. Their position in life is the only thing that attracts the narcissist, who believes that because he is unique and special, he should only engage with other special, rich, or accomplished people. Narcissists are attracted to wealthy people, beautiful people, and successful people who they believe they can benefit from in some way, or who will enhance their self-image by association. The fact that narcissists can turn their charm on and off just as they would a light switch is further evidence demonstrating the existence of choice. And while the narcissist can admire these people, he's also envious of them and what they have that he does not. That's because narcissists live in a state of constant envy. Narcissists are envious of everyone. They envy the fact that others have feelings. They envy others' houses, education, marriages, children, station in life, careers. And they especially envy the fact that others are happy. Being around happy people exaggerates their own sense of deprivation and their misery. Happiness in others provokes viciousness in narcissists. They will do almost anything to snuff the light out of someone who is happy, especially someone they feel they have control over. If they can't safely lash out at their target, they will lie and badmouth them to others, or they'll do a slow burn about it and then blame or take it out on someone close to them. Making themselves feel better by making other people feel worse reinforces their sense of omnipotence. They make it clear that those close to them are only allowed to feel happy when they want them to. Narcissists do not feel remorse for the abuse they inflict on those closest to them. The narcissist sees them as easy marks that he does not have to try to win over. They're extensions of himself. He just takes it for granted that they're there for him, safely and readily at his disposal to abuse as he pleases and fulfill his narcissistic supply as needed. Have you ever told your narcissist that he is hurting your feelings or expressed how badly he is making you feel? Have you ever asked him to stop treating you the way he does? Anyone who loves and cares about you would take your feelings into consideration, but not so for the narcissist. He sees your vulnerability the same way a lion sees a young gazelle. It provokes the predatory urges even more. It also adds fuel to his fire. He's appalled that you would question his actions. Any suggestion that you see anything he does as less than perfect enrages him. If you've lived with a narcissist, you understand how terrifying being the target of narcissistic rage can be. Narcissistic rage is a defense mechanism the narcissist's false self employs to protect his very fragile ego. But it's also a control mechanism meant to erode your self-confidence, intimidate you, humiliate you, and disable you, all for the purpose of keeping you around so he can continue to feed off of you. Though the rage may be difficult for someone with narcissistic personality disorder to control, the motive used to keep you in line is deliberate. They're fully aware of what they are doing, but simply do not care. The narcissist is a pathological liar. They lie, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not, even about inconsequential or trivial matters. And they believe their twisted realities. They know that what they do is wrong, but they're unable to accept the blame for it. Accepting the blame would make them less than perfect, a reality they are unequipped to deal with. Their superiority complex blinds them to any of their wrongdoings. It keeps them in a constant state of denial. They also want us to deny that the abuse we experience from them is real. One tactic all narcissists use to do that is called gaslighting. Gaslighting is one of the most insidious forms of emotional and psychological abuse. Because narcissists are so subtle and sneaky with their cruelty, the person on the receiving end finds himself questioning his own reality and his own sanity. Gaslighting makes the other person feel insane. And if that's not bad enough, the narcissist will outright tell the other person that he is insane for believing whatever he believes to be true, or for not believing what the narcissist claims is true. they'll instinctively tell you that they did nothing to hurt you and that you shouldn't be hurt and that you're just too sensitive. They'll even turn things around and make you believe that you, in fact, hurt them. This is very confusing and crazy-making, but make no mistake, it is a deliberate act of a very cunning, calculating person. Someone who is mentally ill could never pull off such elaborate strategies. So I talked about distinguishing the behavior of the narcissist's unconscious urges from the behavior that is conscious, controlling, and manipulative. Think about it in terms of addiction. That's a fair portrayal of someone with NPD because the narcissist is, in fact, an addict, and narcissistic supply is his drug. Would you excuse the behavior of a drug addict just because you know he lacks impulse control? Would you allow him to use you, abuse you, and take advantage of you in his insatiable quest for drugs? Hopefully not, because a drug addict has the ability to fight his compulsions if he truly wants to, just as a narcissist can fight theirs. Narcissists do know right from wrong, but they don't want to suffer the consequences of their actions. If they didn't know that what they do to hurt others is wrong, they wouldn't try to hide it or lie about it, as they so often do. In our interactions with narcissists, we never know who we're dealing with. Narcissists are chameleons. They can appear loving and warm, though don't be fooled. They do not feel the feelings behind those emotions. They're able to fool us because they are master manipulators when it comes to getting what they want. They learn what's appropriate to say and what behaviors are appropriate to exhibit for given situations through observing others. One of the things that makes all this so confusing is that we were programmed to feel sorry for and make excuses for our abuser. We were taught that we were wrong and they were right. We're taught that we are responsible for their happiness. And when they are unhappy, we somehow feel responsible because it has been reinforced over and over that we are responsible for their happiness. If they're upset about something, we believe it's our job to resolve it. But it's not our job to fix their problems. Unless we are psychotherapists or psychiatrists, it's not our job to fix anyone. It's not easy to break this pattern that is so deeply ingrained in us and will take time to correct. But if we want to be emotionally healthy and have healthy relationships, we need to stop feeling responsible for fixing everyone else's problems. We were also conditioned to blame ourselves for the abuse directed at us. We were brainwashed to feel guilty and punish ourselves instead of holding the narcissist accountable for their actions. Another confusing thing is that narcissists will tell you they love you and say it very convincingly, but they say they love you only because they want you to love them back. When you withdraw your love and admiration or do something that doesn't serve the narcissist well, he will withdraw his so-called love too. That is not love at all. Think about how you show love. Love is gentle and love is kind. Love is understanding and love is edifying. Love is not something that must be based on emotional reciprocity. We don't devalue the ones we care about. We don't deprive them of the right to be their own person. And we don't stand in the way of their happiness or potential. We don't ask them to sacrifice themselves to prove their love. I know that this can all be very confusing. So whenever you need a reality check, ask yourself if their overall actions match their words. They may be able to fake it for a little while, but not for long. It's painful and traumatic to realize that your entire relationship with the narcissist was a sham, that the relationship you thought you had never existed. It's a sickening feeling to know that you are disposable, that you're nothing more than a fix for their narcissistic supply. Once we realize exactly what was done to us, how insidious the betrayal and abuse has been, it's normal to feel a huge sense of loss. Just as we do when we lose a loved one to death, we go through a grieving process. We grieve over the damage done to us. We grieve over the trust we lost. we are frustrated because there are things we wish we had said but didn't. And there are things that we want to say to the narcissist but know that our words will land on deaf ears. We have feelings of anger and bitterness. We want to confront the narcissist with everything they've done to us. We want to tell them how much misery they created in our lives. Yet we know to do this will get us nowhere. Any confrontation with the narcissist will probably be fruitless and cause us even more pain. The narcissist will never admit to doing anything wrong. They will, however, tell us that we don't know what we're talking about. We're crazy or we have mental problems. They'll say we're not remembering correctly. They will blame us for our insistence on bringing up the past. As my narcissistic mother likes to say, you always want to bring up the past. You can never let anything go. And narcissistic parents, mine included, commonly try to defend their behavior by telling us what difficult children we were to raise. It's always our fault. And if that's not bad enough, the real kick in the butt is that we have to work so hard to overcome it all. The victim must change, but the narcissist never will. We must get professional help to overcome the damage done to us. Yet no one, not even the most skilled therapist, can ever convince the narcissist that he has done anything wrong. And it's rare that narcissists ever get to the point that they go to a therapist because they believe that therapy is for lesser people. So that brings us to the point of this show. What do we do next? Do we forgive them or do we not forgive them? Do we hold them accountable or do we not hold them accountable? Do we continue a relationship with them or do we sever all ties? In order to have a healthy, active relationship with the narcissist, or anyone for that matter, the person has to acknowledge, accept, and be willing to change their behavior. He will have to make amends and prove that he's making an effort to change. But don't hold your breath. That will never happen with narcissists. They don't believe they ever do anything wrong. If you do confront him, the narcissist never gives a genuine apology. He may say something that resembles an apology, but he's imitating what he's seen others do in similar situations. He doesn't feel sorry for anything he does, and he doesn't care if he hurts you. The only thing he ever regrets is not getting what he thinks he deserves. If you listen carefully to the way a narcissist phrases his apologies, you will realize that he's not sorry at all, though the narcissist, who is sure he is smarter than you are, believes you won't discern the difference. They're notorious for saying, "Please forgive me," when backed into a corner. These are words that put the responsibility right back on us. They rarely say, "I'm sorry," words that put the responsibility on them. If they do say, "I'm sorry," it will probably not be said with sincerity, except under desperate situations, and even then, it's not sincere. If confrontation isn't for you, but you need to get your feelings out, a less stressful way to do that is to write a letter. If you want to send it, then send it. You can either email it or mail it. It doesn't matter. If you don't wish to send it, you can symbolically destroy or burn it. Bottom line is, we will never get the validation we deserve. So where does that leave us in terms of our relationship with the narcissist? Is it possible to even have a relationship with them? One option for continuing the relationship is known as measured contact. Measured contact means having limited interactions with the narcissist. Psychological boundaries must be set up and enforced so tightly that the narcissist is afraid to cross the line. Setting boundaries with a person who doesn't want them is difficult, but it can be done. They will fight you with everything they have to keep you from doing it. But if you keep enforcing what you say you will do, they will have to eventually comply. Still, it requires toughness and tenacity on your part to keep them in line. They will continue to test you to see how far they can go. Measured contact requires retraining the narcissist by reward and punishment, the same way you would train a child. You have to set up clear guidelines of what you will and will not tolerate. Advise your abuser what those guidelines are, and then be a strict enforcer. If they even put one toe over the line, they must suffer the consequences. If you give them an inch, they will take a mile, and you will lose all the ground you have gained. Some people can pull that off, and some people cannot or just don't want to. In many cases, the narcissist will not stop the manipulations and abuse no matter what you do. At that point, measured contact becomes impossible. You must make your own mental health a priority. When the narcissist continues bringing toxicity into your life, you must separate yourself from it. Total estrangement is your only option. Total estrangement means no contact at all. There are some circumstances where no contact is easier than others. If your narcissist was your spouse or significant other and no children were involved or there was no business relationship, it's best to just walk away. It gets much more complicated when children are involved or when the narcissist is a family member, even worse when that family member is an aged parent and their years are numbered. I don't suggest you make any rash decisions on how you will approach these situations until you get emotionally healthier. The smoke clears over time, and it's easier to find solutions that will work best for you. Now let's talk about forgiveness. Should you forgive your abuser? When forgiving, do we forgive the person for having a disorder in order to achieve our own peace of mind? If so, does that mean we can regain a relationship with them? Building a relationship all depends on their level of accountability for their actions, which in the case of a narcissist is usually nil. Can we forgive their actions? Their actions are too innumerable to count, so it is close to impossible to forgive each one. Do we pick and choose which ones to forgive? We cannot afford to do that either because the damage done to us is multifaceted and layered. Forgiving one thing without forgiving everything is not forgiveness at all because it does not bring us peace of mind. Does the narcissist even deserve to be forgiven? Forgiveness is something not given because someone deserves it. Excusing is. If you excuse the narcissist, you let him off the hook. If you excuse him, you set yourself up for more deception and more abuse, possibly even put yourself in harm's way. Forgiveness, on the other hand, can be given without the narcissist ever knowing that he's been forgiven. We can forgive in our hearts without holding them accountable for their disorder. But until they are accountable for their actions, we cannot afford to sacrifice our own well-being. The choice is totally up to you, as is the choice of whether or not to hold them accountable or the choice to forgive them at all. To truly forgive is not about giving in, being selective, or being nice. It's about letting go. Letting go of anger, resentment, and fear. It's about empowering yourself to begin life with a clean slate from that day forward. We're getting close to running out of time today, but I'll leave you with a quote from Sam Vaknin, author and publisher of the book Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. Being a narcissist does not exempt the patient from being a human being. A person suffering from NPD must be subjected to the same moral treatment and judgment as the rest of us. Yeah, man. I'm sorry to say we're out of time. If you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, or if you would like to purchase a transcript of any of my shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. The cost of transcripts are $10 per show. When I receive your email, I'll send you a PayPal invoice, and all requested transcripts will be emailed to you. On rare occasions when I have guests, there will be no transcripts for that particular show. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my show, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers would get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandiGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be